Now, I know that God is doing a great and mighty work in the people of God. We just have to know what he's doing. For some people, he's getting to work on some issues. You know, he's going to work on some of those issues, you know, like tightening of the bolts of faith and hope. And others, he's going to start kind of stripping some stuff off. Told you before, I'm in love with the stripper. Don't be looking at my wife. No, I'm talking about in love with the stripper. God is the one who can strip you of some things so that he can make you produce more. But some of us have a tendency to be walking around not knowing, what is God doing? Is God even here? I've been praying and seeking God, and you know how most of us do when we're praying. Sometimes we go and sit down on the couch. We sit in there for so long, it makes that little, you know, indention in the couch because you've been sitting there for so long. Or for others that they have a tendency to walk around praying, and then you look and you can tell, like, wow, our carpet's worn out right there. Dad's been praying or mom's been praying. Or if you're one of those that like to cry in the presence of God, and you forgot to take your makeup off, and you look down at the beige carpet that you've had, and you've got mascara all over the place. Sometimes we're just seeking to find out if God's going to speak to us, right? And then we wonder, is God even listening? Hello?
Hello.
Real church. Real talk. Because sometimes we don't see God show up. Well, I had a dream. Say it with me, I had a dream.
I had a dream.
I had a dream, Jonathan. I had a dream. I did. I had a dream. And in this dream, are you ready? Take this dream. I was laying in my bed. Had the AC just going. And it was nice and cold. I pulled those covers right over me. I got real comfortable. You know when the pillow is just positioned just right? Your head just kind of like, oh, yeah. You know how sometimes you got to kick the covers up off your toes because it's tucked in so much? You just kick them up just enough. You're like, oh, yeah. You got room to move. And it's not those covers that you just bought, you haven't washed, you just put them on. No, these are the covers that you washed. You've got that brand new Downy fresh scent. You know the one. Because then it just feels like you're kind of snuggling in. And then I began to drift away into this dream. And in this dream, I saw a vehicle. Some of y'all thinking, well, Pastor, was it your truck? No, it wasn't my truck. I saw a vehicle with many members of Christians in there from different churches and from different positions in churches. They were in this vehicle. As I noticed that the vehicle was driving off, and I looked at the tires, and there was mud all over the tires. There was mud inside the rims. And as it's driving off, I'm looking at it, I was like, man, it's dirty. There's a lot of dirt all over the car. And I'm watching from the outside, looking at this vehicle like it's going by in slow motion. Enough time for me to see the wheel turn to see the mud that's caked in there. So I paid real close attention to the wheel. And the wheel was almost bald on both sides. So it was like it was just spinning. And it wasn't getting traction, but there was all this mud on there. And then I look at the windshield. And the windshield was so dirty. It was full of haze. You know when you don't wash your car because it's been raining, like right now, most of us? I ain't going to wash it because it's been raining, so I ain't going to do it, right? Okay, so it has that film on there. You know the one that has the windshield wiper marks? But everything else is all, you know, dirty. Okay. But in this particular vehicle, it was all dirty. Then, as it's getting a little bit closer now, I can see the door panels. The door panels have dings in it like somebody had hit it. Front door and back door. I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What's going on? Then I look up at the windows, and it's dark tinted like limo tint windows. I said, I used to have a car like that. dark tinted windows, you know, for the heat, you know. Then as it's pulling past, now I'm seeing the rear part of it, that the back windshield was just caked over with mud. The car begins to turn like it's doing a U-turn. And I noticed that the lights are on in the vehicle, but the vehicle's lights were real dim. Real dim. The windshield wipers didn't even work. And then as it turned, you know how they have the cars that have those wire antennas? You know, the real wire ones, not these, you know, up-to-date ones. And the antenna was bent over. So I'm looking at this, man, this is a raggedy old car. Man, what's going on? But I could still see everybody inside. There were Christians, church folks inside. So as they turn, and like the U-turn, now I can see the other two door panels, and those two side doors have been hit. I said, oh, Lord, this one's just not a good day, just not a good day. So when I woke up in the morning, I said, God, what is this about? What? Why are you showing me this in detail? Because a lot of people say, oh, I dream all the time. Hello, everybody does. Everybody dreams. Sometimes you don't remember them. But when you do remember them, pay close attention to them. Because God may be giving you something he wants you to see. So when I got up, I asked God, what is this? He says, vehicles, anytime you have a dream about vehicles, it represents ministry. I said, Lord, I wasn't in there. It wasn't my ministry, right, God? He says, this is the ministry of the body. Many have gotten in their ministry and have been spinning their wheels with no traction. And there's no traction to get them any further. All they're doing is collecting more of the mud on top of the wheels. And what it's doing is getting caked into the wheels. So it's causing it to just spin without any acceleration. I said, Lord, but what? I saw that antenna, so that tells me something. He says, yeah, you're not getting the clear reception that you need to hear from me. The lights. What do you think the lights meant? No clear direction on where you're going. You can't see in the dark. It's not bright enough. Your light's not shining bright enough to see. I said, Lord, this is a very strong prophetic dream. I thought it was the pizza I ate, but it's not. And then I asked God, well, what about the dark tinted windows? He says, many people today are hiding in their ministry. Thinking nobody can see them. I said, okay, God, I got that chancla. Then I said, the windshield that was clouded over and dirty. Now, don't go out there and go start washing your car. I'm not talking. This is something God showed me, okay? He says, we get so used to things being thrown at us that we know there's protection, there's grace in his blood. But we don't know how to go and clean things off of us. We get just so used to it being thrown on us. As long as I can see, I'll be okay. But the reality is, it's just so much that we're so used to just coming at us and the grace is stopping it, but yet it's clouding our vision. We can't see clearly. Then the windshield wipers. One went up, one went down. Every time you're trying to get rid of what's there, it's coming right back. It's coming right back. I said, Lord, that's a strong prophetic dream. So when I get up in the morning, I run out to my car and I start looking. Is this my car that you're talking about? Because conviction came real quick. Lord, I love my car. I love my car. I love my car. I'm going to clean it. It's been raining. That's when he says, we always make excuses why not to clean ourselves. How many of you have been there, you know? I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. Ain't nobody going to see the sin that I'm doing right now. I'm covered by the blood. I got the dark tinted windows right now. Ain't nobody going to see what's going on in my personal life because it's my personal life. Nobody got to tell me anything. I'm covered by the blood. You see, what happens is this. You don't realize that you're not accepting the fact that he wants to change you.
That's right.
He wants to clean you up.
Amen.
By cleaning you up, it cleans your ministry up. We can't step in a ministry just thinking just because we have a gift. There's many people that I know that have gifts, they sit on it. And then there's others that have plenty of gifts, but they're so messed up with their character, their integrity. We've all been there. I'm not saying we're all there. We've been there. And if you're there, it's okay. Let this clean you.
Amen.
Let it clean you up. You know, when I have dreams and I remember them, I know it has something to do with what God has to tell me. Usually when I go to bed about 10:30, I'm out. My cat can walk all over me and I don't even know it. My wife will come in later and she just say, "You were snoring logs." I'm a builder. I was building something for you, baby. So when I wake up, I don't remember dreams. I don't. But if I do remember, it's something that's important that he wants me to remember. And so when it had to do with this vehicle, I knew it was something there. So I began to ask God about the back windows. Why are the back windows caked on? Because your past is always doesn't have an instrument to clean it. It's going to take your effort, by your effort, cleaning your past. See, there's no windshield wipers in the back of this car. You know, nowadays, these new vehicles, they got that one arm. You know. It only does a little bit just so you can see just enough. But this one didn't have none. It reminds me of my black Grand Prix I had. Those windows were straight down. Okay? And then I had limo tint on there. I know. Limo tint. But this has so much caked mud on there. I said, "God, what is this about?" He says, "Your past is so dirty that you don't take the time to clean it up." "How do you clean up your past?" I asked God. And I asked, and I asked, and I asked. What do you think the answer was? I heard someone said, "Don't." What else? "Talk to me now. Accept it and move forward." What else? "Ask for forgiveness." Come on. Y'all want to help me out because they're still asleep. Forget your past. What else? Car wash, baby. Car wash. Sometimes you need some help from other people to help clean this stuff off. So we can get it all cleaned up. We gotta worry about it. It's gonna help us. Sometimes we gotta get that one. Clean it up real good. We're going to clean our vision. We're going to make it clean so we can see what we're doing. Now look at here, look at here, look at here. We all doing the windshield wiping now, windshield wiping. I'm the light. Come on, come on. We're gonna work on the headlight. We're going to be the light of this world. We're going to bring light into the darkness. Come on, come on. Now, are you ready for the wheel? Come on now. Come on. We got traction. Come on. All right now. We're getting traction and momentum. We're moving forward. Why? Because we're going to clean up some stuff that the enemy put on us. We're going to clean it all up so we don't have to worry about our past. Because it's in our background. It's behind us, not in front of us. We gotta worry about that. All we gotta do is come forward. Now, you ready for the antenna? Put your antennas. All right. We're going to hear from God. We're going to hear from God instruction. What he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it, and with whom he wants us to do it. Because not anybody can be next to you, and not everybody's going with you. Amen. About a car wash. You know all about the car wash, don't you, Eric? Well, watch this. Watch. Nowadays, we have all this nice, fancy kind of car washes. You don't even have to get out of your vehicle to get a car wash. You just drive on through because it makes everything nice and pretty for you. But haven't you noticed there's always a couple of spots that don't even get touched? See, when God is going to put us through this cleansing process, he's going to clean some things. But what happens is there's a couple of spots that get missed. You got to get out yourself, put a little bit of elbow grease, and work on those spots yourself. The Bible says that we work out our deliverance. We walk it out with God. We work it out with God. But if we never get out and deal with that very issue, it becomes a part of you. Yes. And it'll stay with you. Yep. You are all called to be ambassadors for Christ. That means you're a representation for Christ, the kingdom of God. But if you got so much junk all over you, you can't see straight, think straight, you can't even move in the direction God has called you. When I saw those tires that were bald, I knew it. What it meant was the wheels were out of alignment. Out of alignment. I believe what God is saying is that we have so many things going on in our life that we get things out of whack and out of alignment. And it wears on us. How does it wear on us? It begins to get us so distraught, so distracted, to the point we even come under so much attack ourselves. And we blame the devil for it. You know, oh, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Unless your devil is Marty. You know, say your own name. We make ourselves do certain things. We respond differently when we're being oppressed. Then, when we have the full grace upon us. You know how we smile and talk to people and God bless you, sister so-and-so. Oh, brother so-and-so, you a blessing. But when you're being oppressed and you've got something that's been prodding you for a while, that same sister so-and-so is not going to get that smile no more. That same sister so-and-so is going to get that look like. About had enough of you. Now, don't even sit by me today. You got an off spirit. We put that on everybody else. If you were to look in the mirror and say, are you eating a lemon or something? Because you're like... You been around somebody that eats a lemon? And for some reason, lately, I've been eating a lot of lemons. No, real ones. I mean, real ones. Ask my mom, ask my wife. For lunch, I was like, I don't know why I've been eating lemons with salt. You know, when you get it, and then you bite it, and then it's just so juicy, but yet so tart and so sour at the same time. And then you're like, y'all getting that? Y'all feeling it?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it? Yeah, look at your cheeks over there. You feeling it? It's just like getting one of those dill pickles that are nice and cold, that when you bite it and then the juices just come out, but you can feel it right here on your cheeks. How many of y'all feeling that right now? Y'all feeling? I said, Lord, what's going on here? Why I got all this kind of saltiness? I'm just craving salty. It's because my people are salty. Oh, that's too much slang for them? Let me break it down. Should I break it down for them? Because, you know, that's street.
Yeah, break it down.
The street. You just mad and bitter.
Wow.
Then you want to add the salt to your bitterness and make you even more sour.
Wow. Yeah.
I should have left it at salty, right?
Yeah.
You're like, no, I liked it better the other way. We all salty because we mad about what God hasn't done. Hasn't showed up. Sunday, I was supposed to be preaching a word concerning the fallen. The fallen. Many have fallen away in these last days from the faith. I just read there was a pastor standing at the pulpit. Said, if it's my time, I'll gladly go. Died right on the pulpit. Right on the pulpit. Right after he said it. I ain't ready. I ain't ready. I got too much to see. I'm not leaving this place till I see the glory of God come in and just wreck the church once and for all. I got business to do. My destiny has not been fulfilled. Yours has only just begun, sir. Yours has only just begun. Everything inside of you has been stirring inside, but you don't understand why. But God has graced you and gifted you with the spirit of excellence. But he's going to challenge you with those that come into your influence. And when they come into your influence, speak truth. Truth. God has his hand on you. I see your mama praying for you that's been keeping you and keeping you and keeping you. You want to go home tonight and tell mama, thank you for praying for me. For the Lord said he has need of me. I hear you right now in your spirit say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I declare unto you the prophetic unction of God that's going to fall upon you as you begin to play. People are going to begin. You play different instruments. I see you moving about. And I see people watching you as you start doing the things of God that they're saying there's something different about you. Follow after what God is saying for you to do. And watch as the phone begins to ring and people begin to call you because your gift will make room for you.
Amen.
You're a blessed man of God.
Yes,
blessed man of God. Experience the fullness of what he has for you. And watch as he begins to make room for you.
Amen.
Tell your mom she can sleep easy now knowing. Watch this. Not what I said, but what's about to take place for you.
Hallelujah.
She worries about you, son. I don't know you. You know I don't know you. They don't talk to me about you. But your mom's been worried about you. Being on the road, doing certain things, she's been worried. Tell her, Mom, God's got me. And be at peace. Great things are coming to you, man. Great things. I don't even know your name. What's your name? Robert? Good to meet you. Good to meet you. Hallelujah. Did you like that song? Did you like that song, Car Wash? Did you feel it? I feel it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. How's this clean? Yeah. I told Jonathan yesterday, I texted him. I was telling Josh this dream. My son's not here tonight, but I was telling him the dream when I was taking him to school. I said, Josh, man, I had this weird dream. You know what? And then the song came on. The song came on. Ask Josh, my son. Honest to God. Come on, I had that thing blaring, girls. I opened up the moon roof and I did it on. Josh was like, oh, Lord. Oh. Dad, turn it down. I said, Josh, I'm going to preach on this. Watch this. This is what I did. I preached the sermon in the car. But I did it with the radio voice. Now we need to get up in the car wash. And in the car wash, it'll be like Wolfman Jack. Ooh, calling people to the car wash. Getting people to come clean up all the mess that's all over them. They got to sometimes just drive in by themselves. But don't worry about it. Just come on in. The Wolfman Jack is calling you to come on down to the car wash. Bring your ministry so you can get all cleaned up. You got some mess all about your business now. You got people talking about you, slandering you. You got all this kind of gossip going on in your car. But come on down to the car wash. When you come on down to the car wash, I'm going to throw in a couple tokens for you so you can go ahead and vacuum up all that mess you've been getting all in the car. And you know what? I'm going to throw in a couple of towels for you so you can clean up all that stuff inside the inside of your car. Because it's not the outside that matters. It's the inside that matters. Come on down to the car wash. My son looked at me like, Dad, you are crazy. Turn that down. If you don't know my son. My son, he just looks at me like, oh. I kept on talking like that. I said, you don't even know who Wolfman Jack is. You don't even know about that. See, y'all are young whippersnappers. Y'all don't know about no Wolfman Jack.
It's the Wolfman. It's the Wolfman Jack. Spinning on the one and twos for you. Why don't you come on down here to the IHOP? We're going to get you fixed up the burgers and some fries. But it's right next to the car wash. Come on down so you can clean up your mess, clean up your ride, get your whip all cleaned up. Come on out to the car wash. See, y'all need to pray for me. I heard that song. And when I heard that song, I knew God was saying something because of my dream. I'm telling Josh my dream, and all of a sudden it came out. I said, oh, hey. So I'm driving, open up the moonroof. Oh, whoa. And then mine went way back into those. Remember that movie? What is it? American Graffiti? Remember that movie? American Graffiti had that yellow hot rod. I said, Lord, don't put me in one of those cars. It's too fast for me. He says, you know, too many people want to get in their ministry and make sure it's fast, grows fast. Mm-hmm. It's got to be turbo. Uh-huh. It's got to have those bucket seats. It's got to have those nice rims. Everything has to look good. But it's nothing to do with character. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. I don't want to be like that. I want to have a ministry that people can say, that's integrity. That's character. They may not all have it right, but they tried their hardest. Because I don't want to be perfect. You're held to a whole different kind of level when you're perfect. But in my perfection, that's when he comes for me. That's when he helps me. So if you think you can do a better job in what you're doing, you have to ask God to help you do it. Okay? But you don't come against somebody because they're not doing it the way you would do it. So I told God, I said, my ministry would always be how you want it to be. He says, how come there's so many cookie cutter Christians in churches everywhere? I said, oh God. And I started going back to all the different ministries that I've seen that have come down. And I've seen that what they did, they fell away from biblical truth. They fell away from it. They got caught up with doing the same thing as the world is doing. And they were no longer the light. They were no longer the beacon to help people. I was like, oh my God. They got caught up with the fame, caught up with pride, the haughtiness. Look at my ministry. I've seen it. I've seen it. You've seen it as well. But in the humbling process can restore the people back to their rightful place if they allow God to do it. So I told God, if I'm taking my rebuke, I'll take my rebuke, me personally. I have a problem with that, God. I'd rather you rebuke me than you stroke me. We need God to speak to us in a way that will listen. Do you understand? Now with me, like I said this before, I think God keeps me in his pocket when he wants to laugh. Yeah. Because everybody else is working real hard to be, you know, good. And I'm like, I'm messed up. I'm just a mess. So I think he just pulls me out of his pocket and he tells the angels, watch this. Look at Marty. He's going to go do something. Watch. Just watch him. I told you he was going to mess up. Didn't I tell you he was going to mess up? But look, he's laughing, having a good time messing up. Look at him. There's something about that boy. Bring him back over here. Just get back in here. Get in here. I know you're going to mess up again, but I need a laugh every now and then. So one day you're hallelujah. And the next, Jesus, I can't believe you didn't do what I asked you to do. So I'm like his court jester. I come into everybody. Go, I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to worship the King. No, I'm the court jester. I go in there. Hey, God, you know, I don't understand this thing. You talk in parables and nobody understands. And you want me to teach this thing? I don't understand you. So he looks at me. He goes, that's why I keep you real close. Because you keep it real. You say things that they're thinking. And it challenges them. I said, I'm not trying to challenge them. I'm literally asking the same question they're asking. Because I don't know. He says, the best way to do it, don't know. Just know me. Amen. And then he'll do it. Amen. So then I ask this question. You know me. But why are people leaving you? Why are people leaving you? Why are people falling away from church? He says, they don't believe in me. Just because I don't do what they ask me to do. But if I'd done what they asked me to do, it would cause more hurt and pain than they were really ready to accept. So that leads me to the fallen. It's time to rise again. I spoke on Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. Proverbs 13:12. Hope is what people hold on to for strength when promise after promise is delayed. It causes a great falling away from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:16. Many are pursuing other means of peace and hope. Many of them are. Haven't you seen people start falling after philosophy? It's spelled wrong. You know that, right? Philosophy is spelled with F-O-O-L. Philosophy. They're fools to think that they can think right, do what they want, and they can change their future. They can change their life. Built on just thinking positive. I come across a lot of people that think positive all the time. And I ask them, how's that been working for you? Have you seen manifestation of your positive thinking? Or have you been going through the same thing I've been going through? Waiting. Have you seen people like that? Where they're just waiting, just like you, but then they think that, well, I control my destiny by the way I control my thoughts and think positive thoughts. Positive thoughts, positive thoughts, positive. And then if when I get weak, I ask the universe for strength. You ever heard that? You haven't heard that? You ask the universe for strength. Give me energy. How'd that work? Oh, you're still tired. Or can I ask that I take some energy from you and that you help me
Where's all this coming from? It's people making up all kinds of things because they don't want to trust the deity of God. And they want to create their own God. But they don't want a God that is going to rebuke them, correct them, and challenge them. They want a God that they can call on when they're in need. Hence, when things don't go the way we want them to go, like we've asked God to do it, we get mad. We get salty. Bitter. God's not going to do what you asked just because you asked. And for those that got saved and all of a sudden feel like all of heaven is yours right now, wake up. You're going to experience heartache, persecution. Yeah, it happens. Trouble's going to come. Then why did I get saved? It's because you want to go to heaven. Not heaven. Well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. I don't believe in God or the devil. Okay. Just because you don't believe doesn't mean it's not real. Your perception may be your reality, but your reality doesn't mean it's truth. But nobody challenges it. These last days, we're seeing many people trying to find means of peace and hope from someplace else. I've seen this craziness where people put all these crystals all around them. Crystals. I ain't talking crystal meth either. I feel great. I'm talking crystals. It's another deity to them. It's another God. Or how about this one? Money. Think that money's going to change their life. You know, some of y'all are like, well, pay my bills, shoot. Make me happy for a little bit. But I ain't going to worship money. Money works for me. I don't work for money. Money works for me. You know, you have dominion over money. You know that, right? Let me say it again. You have dominion over money. Okay, some they don't believe me. The Bible says that I have given you power. Power to obtain wealth. Did he give wealth power to obtain you? No, he gave you power to obtain wealth. But we think, this is what the devil does, it makes us think that because we're trying to go and make some money and get a little bit of moolah in our pocket, that it's wrong. If it was so wrong, then why did God create the heavens so beautiful and he made the streets of gold? The gates are made of pearls. I'd like to see that oyster. They made those pearls. Rubies and sapphires. No, because his desire is for us to be prosperous. Wealthy and healthy. But the trick of the enemy is to make us think that we can't obtain it because then we're going against the law of God. We're going against his commands. I don't know about you, but I don't like the gospel of being poor. I don't like that one. If y'all want that one, you're in the wrong church. I don't want that. I like bread. I like meat in my bread. I like rice. And I like my beans. I like my fajitas cooked to perfection. I like my steak done just well. How about you? Right? I like to put my head down on a pillow when I go to bed. I like to have a roof over my head, knowing that I'm protected from the elements. Any of this wrong that I'm saying? We're all doing it. But the trick of the enemy is to make you think you can't increase. You can't increase. You can't go and get after it. So what happens is now we get challenged because I desire more from God. I said, God, you know what? This is great. Hey, I love the church. Thank you, God. We got carpet. We got chairs. We got AC that may not be working right now. We're going to figure that out, but I got you. We got lights. We got musicians. We got instruments. We even have free Starbucks stuff in the back. So God has provided, right? But then I'll tell God this. I said, you know what? I want to have all of my instruments from our musicians to come in and not have to worry about setting up. I want all my instruments to be
all along the backside of my stage. You know, this is not a stage. Exactly. I don't want to be here. There's nothing wrong with it. But my desires is what he's put there. Why I say this is because I continue to look after him and I look at his promises. They may not manifest right now, but I do know something, that he desires for me to obtain the wealth that he's given me power over. Amen. Do you understand? It's not for me. It's for the kingdom of God. Amen. It is. I want my babies, the babies, to have their own rooms with everything that they desire. Amen. They need it. I want an indoor facility for the kids to play so we don't have to worry about the weather. I want an indoor gymnasium. Why? So that I can have the kids in the gymnasium playing anytime they want to play. I want to have classrooms so I can teach people. Why? These aren't my personal things that I want. This is for the kingdom of God. If I desire, it's because he put that desire there. But because it hasn't manifest, I'm not going to get salty with God. I know that in his time, he's going to bring it into fruition for me. Right? Now, the trick of the enemy is to make us get so doubtful in what he has spoken and his word that it makes people fall away from God. Getting all mad just because things didn't happen their way. This is that great falling away. The Bible says, I'm going to read it here in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 out of the NIV. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Did I read that? Disobedient to the parents? I didn't read that one yet. Disobedient to the parents? How do we say it in Spanish? Hello? Huh? That's what they said. Just making sure we covered all across the board. Disobedient to the padres. I try, man. I ain't going to Mexico. Gotta have a translator for me. All right. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. He said ungrateful. The Bible said ungrateful. Y'all don't know about me. I get very grateful about everything. Shoo. You ever see me have a good cup of coffee? I thank God for everything. Oh, I'm going to tell him myself. Okay, I came early to church so I can study and do other things. So I went next door to go eat, and they closed at 3. I walked in at 5 minutes till. I hate that. I used to own a restaurant with my parents. I hated that. I asked him, I said, if it's too late, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll just go back to the church. He says, no, it's our waitress. She says, is your wife coming? I said, no, she's not coming. It's just me. I'm getting ready for church. He says, what do you want? I'll go get it right now for you. I said, no, because I know you're ready to leave. I said, look, let me pay for the meal right now so that you can leave and take your tip with you. She says, I'm here until you finish. I said, thank you for that. I told her I used to have a restaurant, and I hated that. And I said, I just forgot the time, and I need to eat before church. She says, nope, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Take your time. You want your tea? Yes, I want my tea. So she goes and gets my food. So, I mean, I'm trying to rush. And she comes back. She goes, slow down. Stop it. So I'm trying to hurry up. And I said, how do you know I was rushing? She says, normally when you eat. Truth. She says, you enjoy your food. This is the waitress that waits on us. And so she says, but you're rushing. Just take your time. I'm not going anywhere. I'll wait here. I love food. I love food, and I'm thankful for what God has allowed me to have, right? In abundance, but it's okay. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Not ungrateful, I'm grateful. But see, this is what he's talking about. In these last days, it's going to be terrible times. Terrible times. And all these things are going to be on the contrary. I'm going to stay very grateful for what God has done for me. There's all kinds of talk that stupidity is going to happen here in the land. You know what? Let me encourage you. We're covered by the blood. We're covered by the blood. We seek shelter under the wings of the Most High. Though 1,000 shall fall on my left and 10,000 on my right, it shall not fall upon me. We are the children of God, and whatever silliness is going to take place here in the land, all you've got to do is listen to the Spirit of God, and He will guide you and protect you. You will have a responsibility to act on what He's told you to do. Don't get it twisted. Oh, God's got me, and if He's told you to go stack up and get water, you better go do it. They missed. They missed. Okay. Ungrateful, unholy. Oh, watch this one. Verse 3. And without love. Unforgiving. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. It says brutal. Not lovers of the good. Treacherous. Rash. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. What people? Let me read it again. The people that are lovers of themselves, lovers of, you know, the ones that they're always staring in the mirror the whole time, looking, they're conceited, they're boastful, they're prideful. And lovers of money, all they're concerned about is just money, 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 money. Proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents. Did I say that one? Disobedient to the parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do not have anything to do with such people. These are in these last days. You're going to see more and more people like that. Who is this word written to? The church. Hello. He's talking about the people in the church are going to start acting this way. This wasn't a memo that went out on the express news to the people. Oh, by the way, this is what's going to happen in the world. No, he was sending it to the church. This is what's going to happen in the church. You're like, no, that's not what it says. Told you I'm going to write my own Bible. Jude 1:17 through 23 in the NIV. But dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold that they said to you, in these last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Oh, be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Woo! Our God is something else. Well, he's going to tell you, not only stay away from them, but when you see someone in doubt, help them. Stay away from them, but if they're in doubt, help them. Because how am I going to help them? Are y'all reading this? He's like, how are we going to help if you're telling us to stay away from them? You see, God, that's why God, Marty, here you go again. You don't understand my word, do you? No, I don't, God. Look at you. When you write it down, can you at least put a period and go to the next column and say how we're supposed to help them? That's me. That's my conversation with God. So then he puts me back in his pocket. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. You're just getting all salty with me. Let me put a little sugar in it. And we'll show you. Acts 5, 1 through 16. Now, you know what? I'll save that for next week. I'll save it for next week. Here's what I want to share with you real quick. Common things people say as they're falling away. You ready for that one? Are y'all ready? I should have put it on PowerPoint, right? No. Common things people say as they're falling away. Now listen, here's a disclaimer. Just because they say it doesn't mean they have really fallen away. Listen, this is just a list. Some of y'all are like, I've said it many times, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm working this thing out, right? Okay, listen. Okay. Number one. Número uno, por favor. Atención. I got that part. I'm just going to take a break from church. A lot of y'all are, hey. Hey. Calm down. Calm down. I said that disclaimer. Didn't mean it was going to, that you are falling away, but many of them say that. You know how some folks do? Okay. Stop. Stop. Not this church, because not this church. Because all of y'all are just the saints of God. The saints. They've erected monuments in your name already, okay? Now listen. Some folks, they just say, you know what? I've just been in church too much. I'm just going to take a break. They start to drift away from God. Okay. Number two. Número dos. I don't want to be too wrapped in religion. I don't want to be too wrapped up in religion. The only thing that was wrapped was Jesus in swaddling clothing. That's it. Everything else has been out in the open. You don't want to be caught up in religion? Neither do I. That's why I'm not. But, okay, I just stop. I'll stop. Okay. Number three. Number tres. Tres. I love this one. Oh my God. I want to travel and see the world. Okay, now some of y'all went left real quick, like, hey, I want to go see the world. Like I said, disclaimer, not everybody has fallen away just because they said this. But listen to somebody that would make this excuse. Hey, church has been awesome. We've got this new drummer. He's so anointed. The Holy Ghost has been falling, right? Okay, now watch this. Yeah, but I'm going to go to Paris next week, and then after that, I'm going to be going to London, and then after that. You know, I just really want to see the sights before, you know, before the Lord comes. I said, look, this is how I would respond. Me. You know, we got PayPal, so anywhere you're at, you want to make your tithing offering. You can do it from wherever you at. You got that much money to be going to London, Paris, Italy, all that. Then make sure you bring all your tithes in the storehouse. Watch it. Because what happens is they take their focus away from God. And they put it on their travels. They put it on everything else. Just trying to help them. So that the devourer can be rebuked for them. They can listen to the podcast. And they can still have church. But then the next thing is, I don't want to be wrapped up in religion. So I can't listen to the podcast until I get back. Think about it. Just think about it. I'm being silly about it, but just think. You have people that say stuff like that. Okay, what's this one? I'm not sinning. You're just being legalistic. Did you get that one? I'm not sinning. You're just being legalistic. That is a falling away. Because you're accepting your sin like, it's okay. I'm covered. Yeah, you're in that vehicle behind the limo tent.
that nobody can see. It's all right. All right now. What was that again? Siri, you're being legalistic. Okay, now watch this. Number five, I want to explore my own way of expressing my faith. Number six, there's a lot of them, so just keep on writing, typing, whatever. Oh, this is good. There's this great opportunity that I really feel is the right step for me. But it takes me away from all of my Christian support, it fills up my life with work, and it gives me loads of chances to sin. To sin.
Somebody wrote that?
Disclaimer. Listen. Linda, listen. Linda, listen. Wait a minute. Listen. There's this great opportunity that I really feel is the right step for me. Now, but what it's going to do, take them away from church. Take them away from support systems, accountability, so they'll make it easier for them to sin with nobody knowing about it. All right, plus now you get it. All right, next one. Oh, this one's good. Watch this. This is good. Listen. Linda. Listen. I met this guy or girl. They're not Christian. But I'll minister to them and I'll win them over.
Bingo, that's the big one.
That's the big one right
there,
right?
Number one.
Right, but see, we think that in relationship, I'm saved, they're of the world, but I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to win them over. I'm going to change their life. You ain't going to do nothing but fall right into sin. Because they're going to say, hey, what's up? Because they ain't trying to hold out till they get married. And neither will you. In that dark tinted window limo tent. Hiding. What's up? You want to go have coffee at 3 a.m? What? See what I mean? See what I mean? They're already falling away. All right. I just need to focus on me for a bit. I just need to focus on me instead of the church. I need to focus on me. I need me time. You ever heard people say that? I just need a little bit of me time. How long are you going to take? You've been 3 months out of church. How much more me time you need? Cow gone, take me away. I've done my fair share of ministry. Other people should serve now. No? You never heard people say that? Yes. Someone say that, you know they're kind of... They're falling away. Okay, watch this one. I don't want to hear about God rebuking people. It gets me down too much. I don't want to be rebuked by God. I get down. I don't feel like I'm being loved enough, so I'm leaving the church. Yeah, then you haven't felt being loved in any church. You fall away from every church. So what happens? I think that Christianity has changed with the times. It's time for us to compromise. Then I'll come back to the church. They're already beyond the falling away. They're trying to make you fall away. All right? Oh, this one's good. I'm just not that way. I don't like church. I don't like the groups in the church. I don't like the singing in the church. I don't like the relationships in the church. I don't like the events in the church. I don't like the plans, and I don't like the sermons. I'll just watch it on TV. You can't have so many number ones. 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. They're all ones. Okay. I don't really pray to God. It's more like positive self-talk and asking the universe to guide me. They done gone left a long time ago. They just looking for somebody to say, yes, you're right. Let's do that. Look, the great falling away, guys, is already here. It's not something that is coming. It's here. Think about it. You've seen all kinds of crazy religions pop up everywhere. People thinking that they can do all kinds of things, worship all kinds of animals, trees, crystals, rocks, all kinds of silliness, and say that that's a way of worship for them. It's out there. And what is happening is we're watching society today begin to conform as the church no longer has a voice. The church hasn't had a voice for quite some time. So government and everything else has made their own decisions based upon what they wanted to do. And they've taken away the power and the authority of the church. So they think. So they think. What I want to share with you is that God is getting ready to rise those that have fallen, make those come to their senses so they can get back into position because they're needed. Because those that have fallen will be the ones that know how to get those that are falling. Because they know what they're following that made them fall.